The following preview is of a graphic audio production rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
Tell me who shipped the guns here.
It's White Ass himself. I don't know where he is. He just sends them for the Brotherhood. I don't know nothing else.
This Brotherhood is not a monkish organization, sir.
They're white supremacists, caught up in a fantasy about a Zionist conspiracy.
They're planning a major attack. There should be a national alert.
We need more proof.
You think the Brotherhood has infiltrated the department?
I'll figure out who the bad is, and then I'll kill him with my bare hands.
Graphic Audio presents DC Comics Batman Dead White.
Stay back, Brotherhood! The bad thing is mine!
We will avenge Timothy McVeigh!
Freeze! Hold it right there!
And we will avenge Adolf Hitler!
Batman and all related characters and elements are trademarks of DC Comics. Copyright 2009. All rights reserved.
And now, for our feature presentation.
Graphic Audio, a movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents William W. Johnstone's Smoke Jensen, the Mountain Man. War of the Mountain Man. Narrated by Mort Shelf. With performances by James Lewis, Terrence Aselford, Michael Glenn, Andy Clements, Elizabeth Jernigan, James Konacek, Christopher Graybill, Michael John Casey, David Coyne, Jonathan Watkins, Thomas Penny, Ken Jackson, Tim Getman, Johann Detweiler, Eric Messner, Dylan Lynch, Colleen Delaney, Richard Rowan, Ren Casey, Jason Stiles, Scott McCormick, Casey Platt, Tim Carlin, and Nanette Savard.
I don't like the idea of the kids on the ocean. By God, I just don't.
Smoke, there's a new treatment available in France, and Louis Arthur's got to have it. We've been to the finest doctors on this continent. They all say the same thing.
Sally, I'm not arguing that. I want what's best for baby Arthur. But why do all the children have to go? My God, they'll be gone for more than a year.
Sally Jensen smiled at Smoke. They had never had the hard, deadly quarrels that so many couples suffered. They were both reasonable people of high intelligence, and each loved the other.
The exposure to a more genteel climate, and I'm not talking about the weather, will be good for the older children. They need to broaden their horizons.
While they're over there, they're going to learn how to hold a coffee cup dainty-like with their little pinkies all poked out to one side.
Yes, you heathen.
Smoke rose from the table, picking up Sally's cup as well as his own. He walked to the stove. Smoke was a big man, well over 6 feet, with broad shoulders, huge, heavily muscled arms, and a lean waist. His presence in a room, any room, usually brought the crowd to silence. His eyes were brown and could turn as cold as the Arctic. He was a ruggedly handsome man, turning the heads of ladies wherever he traveled. He was Smoke Jensen, the man some called the Last Mountain Man. Smoke was the hero in dozens of dime novels. Plays had been written about him and were still being performed about his exploits. Smoke himself had never seen one, of course. He was, without dispute, the fastest gun in the West. He had never wanted the title of gunfighter, though, but he had it. There was no accurate count of how many would-be toughs, punks, thugs, thieves, and killers had fallen under the 44s of Smoke Jensen. Some say 50. Others said it was closer to 200. Smoke didn't know. As a young man, scarcely out of his teens, he had ridden into a mining camp taken over by the men who had killed his wife and baby son, and he'd wiped it out to the last man. His reputation had then been carved in solid granite. Smoke had become a living legend. He had met Sally, who was working as a school teacher, and they had fallen in love. Together, working side by side, even though she was enormously wealthy, something Smoke didn't find out until well after they were married, they carved out a ranch in Colorado and named it the Sugarloaf. For 3 years, Smoke dropped out of sight, living a normal, peaceful life. Then he had to surface and once more strap on his guns in a fight for survival. He stayed surfaced. He would not hunt out a fight, but God help those who came to him trouble hunting. As the Western saying goes, Smoke could point out dozens of his graveyards.
Here you go.
Thanks, Smoke. Roundup is all over and the cattle sold, right, honey?
Yeah, and it was a good one. We made money. Now we're rebuilding the herds and introducing a stronger breed. What'd you have on your mind, Sally?
I'd like to go with the children, but I'm not. I know what the doctor said, and I'm never going to set foot on a ship again. But if we stay here, rattling around this house, we'll both go crazy with worry. Let's wait until we receive the wire that the ship has steamed out, and then take a trip, just the two of us.
That's a good idea. The boys can run the spread, no worries there. You got some special place in mind?
Yes. It's a friend I went to college with. She and her husband just moved to Montana. They live in a small town about 30 miles from Kalispell. She's married to a doctor and they have a small ranch. I'd like to see her. She was my best friend.
Suits me. We'll take a trip up there. It'll do us both good to get away, see some country, and meet new people. We'll take the train as far as it goes and then catch a stage.
No, let's put the horses in a car and ride in, Smoke. It'll be worth it to see the expressions on their faces when we ride in.
All right, honey. But we're going to be heading into some rough country. I've been there. Cousin Faye lives not too far from there. We can take the train probably to Butte. That's wild country, Sally. Big Max Huggins country.
That's one of the reasons we're going, Smoke.
I was wondering when you were going to get around to leveling with me.
You know this Max Huggins?
Only by name. We've never crossed trails. Sally, this town your friends have settled near, it wouldn't be Hell's Creek, would it?
Yes.
Then they didn't show a lot of sense. Hell's Creek is owned lock, stock, and outhouse by Big Max Huggins. It's filled with gunfighters, whores, gamblers, killers. You name it bad and you'll find it there. Why did they settle there?
Robert, that's Vicky's husband, befriended an old man who took sick while visiting back east. Robert was just setting up his practice. Years later, he got a letter from an attorney telling him that the old man had died and left him his ranch.
And Big Max wants the ranch.
Yes, but mostly he wants Victoria.
The next morning, Smoke rode into town and checked with Sheriff Monty Carson. He found him patrolling the streets on foot and decided to join him.
Monty, what can you get me on Hell's Creek and a man named Big Max Huggins?
Oh, I can tell you all about Big Max, Smoke. We got led in each other about 10 years ago, over near the Bitterroot.
I remember that shootout. Is there any kind of law in Hell's Creek?
Only what Big Max says. Oh, there's a sheriff up there, but he's crooked as a snake's track, and so are his deputies. I hear the governor keeps threatening to send men in to clean up the town, but he hasn't done it yet. Why the interest in Hell's Creek?
Sally has some friends who live near there. We're gonna go visit them. I'd sort of like to know what I'm riding into.
You're riding into trouble, Smoke. Hell's Creek is a haven for outlaw gangs. In addition to Big Max's gang, and he's got 40 or 50 men who ride for him, There's Alex Bell and his boys, Dave Poe, Warner Frigo, and Val Singer, all run outlaw gangs out of Hell's Creek. The only way that town is ever going to be cleaned up is for the army to go in and do it.
Damn, Monty. It's 1883. The Wild West is supposed to be calming down.
But you and me, Smoke, we know better, don't we?
Yeah. There'll be pockets of crud in the West for years to come, I reckon.
Any way you can talk your missus out of taking this trip?
You feel like convincing her?
Women get a notion in their heads and a man's in trouble for a fact. When are you and Sally pulling out?
Probably in about a week. Who else do you know for sure is up there?
Ben Webster, Nelson Barrett, Vic Young, Dave Hall, Frank Norton, Lou Brooks, Sid York, Pete Akins, and Larry Gale. Is that enough?
Good God. You just named some of the randiest old boys in the country.
Yep. And believe you me, Smoke, there'll be plenty more up there just as good as them boys I just named. You're gonna be stepping into a rattler's den.
They do sell 44s up there, don't they?
Probably not to you.
Smoke, we don't have to go up there. I don't want you to think I'm pressuring you in any way, because I'm not.
You think a lot of this friend of yours, don't you?
Like a sister, Smoke. She's had a lot of grief in her life, and I'd like for her to have some happiness. She's overdue.
I want to explain that.
She lost two brothers in the Civil War. Her mother died when she was in high school, and then in her second year of college, her father died. She worked terribly hard to finish school. Took in ironing, mended clothes, worked as a maid. Anything to put food in her mouth and clothes on her back. I'd help whenever I could, but Vicky is an awfully proud girl. She and Robert had one child that lived. Two others died. She can't have any more. Their daughter Lisa is 10.
There's more, honey. What is it?
This Max Huggins trash has threatened Lisa several times to get to Vicky.
Then we'll start packing in the morning.
Smoke and Sally pulled out in the morning 2 days later. Smoke riding a midnight black gelding he called Star, and Sally on a fancy-stepping mountain-bred mare who could go all day and still have bottom left. Smoke led a pack horse with her few pieces of luggage and supplies. They headed east toward Denver, where they would catch the train. Sally had a lot of experience with trains. Smoke had only ridden a few of them, preferring to travel in the saddle.
Let's sit here.
All right, then.
Pardon me, mister.
Yeah.
You wouldn't,
Can't answer your question if you can't ask it.
Yeah. you Smoke Jensen?
I am.
Hey, is it true what they say? Have you killed 1,000 men?
Don't keep track, I'm afraid, but I seriously doubt 1,000.
Oh, yeah. Can I see your guns?
I'd rather keep them close, if that's okay with you.
Hey, Smoke! We gonna see any Indians on this trip? I've never seen an Indian.
We might see a few, but the tribes have pretty well been corralled. What we'll more than likely encounter, if anything, is outlaws working the trains.
Outlaws? You mean highwaymen?
Yes, sir. Once we cross over into Montana territory, the odds of outlaws hitting trains really picks up, especially this train.
Oh, well, what's so special about this train?
We're carrying gold.
Oh, how do you know that?
I saw them loading it.
Well, I'm certain the railroad has adequate security.
They got an old man with a shotgun sitting in the car, if that's what you mean.
Oh.
Are we really carrying gold, Smoke?
Yeah, and a lot of it. And not just gold. We're carrying several payrolls, too, for the miners.
What are the chances of our getting held up?
Pretty good, I'd say. If I had to guess, I'd say we're carrying a $50,000 payroll, all combined. And maybe twice that in gold. Be a juicy haul for those so inclined.
They wouldn't dare attack this train. Not with the famous Smoke Jensen on board.
Well, let's hope they know I'm here. Or they'll learn right quick.
The day melted into dusk and then full dark, the train chugging on uneventfully through the night. The passengers slept fitfully, swaying back and forth in their seats to the rhythm of the drivers on the tracks. Smoke sensed the train slowing and opened his eyes. Being careful not to rouse Sally, he stood up and stepped out into the aisle, making his weaving way to the door. He stepped outside and stretched, getting the kinks out of his muscles. On instinct, he slipped the leather thongs from the hammers of his six guns. Smoke leaned over the side and saw the skeletal form of the water tower ahead, faintly illuminated by the dim light of a nearly cloud-covered moon. A storm was brewing, and from the buildup of clouds, it was going to be a bad one. Smoke caught a furtive movement out of the corner of his eyes. Men on the water tower, with rifles. One big hand closed around the butt of a .44. He hesitated. Were they railroad men posted there in case of a robbery attempt? He didn't think so, but he wasn't going to shoot until he knew for sure. He saw the brakeman coming up the side of the coaches.
Brakeman, over here. How can I help?
Shh! Quiet. My name's Smoke Jensen. There are armed men on the water tower.
There are? Why, there are. Well, they damn sure ain't railroad men. And we're carrying a lot of gold and cash money.
That's all I need to know. Brakeman, tell everybody to keep down on the floor.
Will do.
Smoke pulled out a second gun. He spotted an outlaw running from the darkness toward the locomotive. But before Smoke could even get a bead, the man was flat on his back. Either the engineer or the fireman had mighty good aim.
Everybody's keeping down, Smoke.
How far to the next water stop?
Too far. We got to water and fuel here, or we don't make it.
We'll make it.
What's going on?
Shh! Listen. That's them. Sounds like they've given up. Let's see what we got.
Smoke walked out. The third man Smoke had dropped was gut shot and in bad shape. The slug blowing out his left side, taking part of the kidney with it. He looked up at Smoke.
You played hell, mister. What's your name? I'd like to know who done me in.
Smoke Jensen.
Oh, shit. Val sure picked the wrong train this time.
Val Singer?
Yeah, you know him.
I know him.
Mr. Jensen?
This was organized by Val Singer.
Who's that?
I'll tell you later. I winged another. Let's see if we can find him.
But that man was gone. Smoke tracked a blood trail to where the outlaws had tied their horses.
He made the saddle, but as bad as he's bleeding, he won't last long. I must have hit the big vein in his leg.
Well, hopefully they'll get the message and leave us alone.
How far is this payroll going?
All the way to the end of the line, up in Montana.
Smoke knew that the end of the line at the time was near Gold Creek. They would change trains before then.
Why in the hell doesn't the railroad put guards on these payroll shipments?
Beats me, Smoke. But I'm damn sure glad you decided to ride my train for this trip.
They changed trains in southern Idaho, staying with the Union Pacific line. This run would head straight north. End of the track would put them about 150 miles south of their destination. The news had spread up and down the line that Smoke Jensen was on the train, and crowds gathered at every stop, hoping to get a glimpse of the West's most famous gunfighter. Smoke stayed in the car while the train was in station. He had never sought out publicity, and he didn't want it now. No more attempts were made to rob the train during the long pull north. And at the end of track, Smoke offloaded their horses while Sally changed from dress to jeans.
Good morning, Mr. Jensen.
What? How'd you know I was here?
Oh, hard to keep a juicy bit of gossip like that quiet around these parts. What can I do you for?
Side of bacon, some bread. Just keeping the supplies topped off.
Well, I'm happy to help a man like you. Right pleased to have you in town. Sorry you can't stay longer. Things liven up quite a bit when you're around, I'd guess, Mr. Jensen. Be good for business.
It usually is. For the Undertaker.
Huh? Oh, yes, yes. I suppose that's true.
What do I owe you?
Oh, it's on the house. Wouldn't feel right taking money from you, Mr. Jensen.
Well, then, how about I just give you some? That should cover it. Have a good day.
Hey, you too, Mr. Jensen.
As the day wore on, both Sally and Smoke started yearning for a hot bath. It was well past lunch when they topped a ridge and looked down on a little town just south of Flathead Lake.
Well, it has a hotel.
Yeah, and I'll bet they change the sheets at least once a month.
Huh. I bet they change them for me.
Oh, yes, ma'am. The Feather Ticks was just aired out, and we'll get fresh linen on your bed pronto. You bet we will, Mrs. Jensen.
And you make sure the facilities are clean.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I sure will, Mrs. Jensen.
Thank you.
Right this way. If you need anything at all, you just ask.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The room was clean, and it faced the street. Smoke laid out clean clothes and shook out and hung up one of Sally's dresses while she bathed. He looked out the window and was not surprised to see a crowd gathering on the boardwalks below their room. Neither was he surprised to see the sheriff and two deputies among the gawking people. The desk clerk had not been slow in running his mouth. Smoke bathed and shaved while Sally got herself all fixed up, then dressed in a dark suit, white shirt, and string tie. He strapped on his .44s and they went down to the dining room for an early supper. Smoke got a shot of whiskey from the bar for himself and a glass of wine for Sally, then rejoined his wife in the dining room, where the sheriff soon approached him, hat in hand.
Mind if I join you folks for a moment?
Not at all. Have a seat.
Nice little town, Sheriff.
Thank you, ma'am. And it's peaceful, too.
It'll stay peaceful, Sheriff. We're just here to rest for the night, and then we'll be moving on.
Nothing's peaceful around you for very long, Jensen. You attract trouble like honey does flies.
We don't have any trouble in the town near where I live. Hasn't been a shot fired in anger in a long, long time.
Now, how do you manage that?
We get rid of the troublemakers, Sheriff. It's really very simple.
You run them out of town, eh?
We usually bury them.
Uh-huh. Look, there's some pretty randy old boys in this town, Smoke. Some of them would like to make a reputation. I thought I'd warn you.
The only way they're going to get to me, Sheriff, is if they come into the lobby of this hotel and call me out while I'm reading the newspaper, or try to backshoot me when I'm pulling out in the morning.
And if they call you out?
Then I guess the local undertaker is going to get some business, Sheriff.
The one that'll more than likely try to crowd you is called Chubb. He's a bad one. He's killed a couple of men and wounded a couple more in face downs. He's quick, Jensen.
I'll bear that in mind, Sheriff.
Well, I've said my piece. See you, Jensen. Ma'am.
See you around, Sheriff.
The waitress put their dinner in front of them.
Smells good.
As soon as the waitress left, a small boy walked up to meet Smoke.
Mr. Smoke?
Yeah.
Chubb Morgan told me to tell you to enjoy the meal, because he's going to kill you after you get done eating.
That right. Well, you go tell Chubb I said to calm down. When I finish eating and have my brandy, I'll step outside to smoke my cigar on the boardwalk. I get testy when people interrupt my dinner. And here's some spending money. Make sure you stay off the street for a time, all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Who is this Chubb Morgan, honey?
I have no idea, Sally, but I'll tell you what he's going to be soon.
What?
Dead.
It was near dusk and the wide street was now deserted. All horses had been taken from the hitch rails and the dogs had been called home. Smoke lit a cigar and leaned against an awning support. He had played out this scene many times in his life, and Smoke knew he was not immortal. He'd taken a lot of lead, and he would rather talk his way out of a gunfight than drag iron. But he was realist enough to have learned early on that with some men, talking was useless. It just prolonged the inevitable. Smoke also knew, and he had argued the belief many times with so-called learned people, that some men were just born bad, with a seed of evil in them. And there was only one way to deal with those types of people. Kill them. A cowboy reined up at the saloon. He dismounted, looked around him, and spotted Smoke Jensen, all dressed in a black suit with the coat brushed back, exposing those deadly .44s. The cowboy put it all together in a hurry and swung back into the saddle. Smoke, still leaning against the post, cut his eyes as a man began to walk down the street. As the man drew nearer, Smoke straightened up. He held a cigar in his left hand, the thumb of his right hand hooked under his belt buckle.
Jensen!
Right here.
Your wife's a real looker. After I kill you, I'll take her. What are you laughing at, Jensen?
Smoke was just suddenly tired of it. He wanted a good night's sleep lying next to Sally. He hadn't ridden into town looking for trouble, and he resented trouble being pushed upon him. He was just damn tired of it.
Make your play, punk.
Draw, Jensen.
I don't draw on fools. You called me out, Chubb, remember? Now, if you don't have the stomach for it, turn around and go back home. I'd rather you did that.
And you're a coward. Now draw, damn it, draw!
Smoke's cold, unwavering eyes bored into the man's gaze.
How's it feel to be about to die?
I wouldn't know, Chubb. Why don't you ask yourself that question?
Now!
Chubb went for his guns. Smoke drew so fast that it was only a blur. The .44 slug took Chubb in the center of the chest. Punk's hands were still on the butts of his guns. The guns were still in leather. The sheriff and his deputy stepped out of the office just as the boardwalks on both sides of the street filled with people. Smoke stepped off the porch and walked up to the dying Chubb. He held his cocked .44 in his right hand. Chubb raised his head. Blood had gathered on his lips.
I never even seen you draw.
That's the way it goes, Chubb.
Bastard.
Now what, Smoke?
Bury him, Sheriff.
Smoke and Sally rode out before dawn. They decided they would stop along the way and make breakfast.
Why do they do it, Smoke?
I've never understood it, Sally. Men like Chubb must be very unhappy men. And they're very shallow men. Let's get off the trail and follow this creek for a ways. See where it goes.
All right.
The creek wound around and led him back to the Swan River.
Fellow back at the hotel said that Swan would lead us right to Hell's Creek. So we may as well stay with the river. There are two more little towns between here and Hell's Creek. He said it was right at 100 miles.
You've been in this country before?
Not right here. It's all new to me. But you can bet the news of the failed train robbery has reached Huggins by now.
You think any of those men recognized you?
I doubt it. But the news of our heading north reached Huggins the day after we boarded the train in Denver. Of course, I doubt he knows we're heading for Hell's Creek.
I'm sorry I pushed this on you, Smoke.
You didn't push anything on me, Sally. You want to visit an old friend who's in trouble. And anybody who tries to prevent you from doing that is wrong. If they try to stop you, they'll answer to me. It's as simple as that.
Everything will always be black and white to you, won't it, honey? No gray in the middle.
I know what's right and I know what's wrong. Lawyers want to make it complicated when it isn't. We'll see your friend and her husband and help them work out their problems.
Legally?
Depends on whether you interpret legal by using common sense or what a lawyer would think, I reckon.
2 days of following the river north brought Smoke and Sally to a small village located on the east side of the Swan. There was no hotel in the village, but there was a lady who took in boarders. Smoke and Sally got him a room and cleaned up. The town marshal was waiting on the front porch of the boarding house when Smoke stepped out for some fresh air while supper was being cooked.
Mr. Jensen.
Afternoon, Marshal.
I gotta ask. You in town trouble hunting?
No, you can relax. I don't hunt trouble. Me and my wife are just passing through.
Well, that's a relief. I thought maybe you was on the prod for Jake Lewis.
Jake Lewis? Who's that?
One of the men who survived that shootout you had some years ago over to that mining camp on the Uncompahgre.
I didn't know there were any survivors.
Well, only one that I know of. Jake Lewis. You shot him all to hell and gone. There's 15 men in that camp. You killed 14 of them. Jake lived, hid in a privy till you rode out.
Well, that's news to me, Marshal. I know he wasn't one of the men who killed my wife and my baby. I know that for a fact.
Oh, no, sir. He sure wasn't. I joined up with Canning and Felter later. Jake's brother's known as Lefty. You killed him in a shootout.
I have no quarrel with Jake, Marshal. You can tell him that.
Why don't you tell him, Mr. Jensen? Sherwood set his mind at ease.
Where is he?
Down at the saloon.
Smoke stared hard at the marshal, wondering if he was being set up.
Now, I run a clean town, Mr. Jensen. I don't take payoffs from nobody. Never will. This ain't no setup, but I gotta warn you that Jake is armed, and he ain't drinking.
What you're telling me is that you don't know what he might do, right?
That's about it, Mr. Jensen. He may throw down on you. I just don't know.
But you want it settled one way or the other.
Yeah. Jake's been living with this for a long time. Lately, it's been eating at him. When he heard you was on the rails coming north, well, he went out of his mind with worry.
Does he know Big Max Huggins?
Oh, yeah. He spent some time up in Hell's Creek.
So he hasn't changed his ways much, right?
No, he ain't never caused no trouble around here. I ain't got no warrants out on him.
All right, Marshal. Walk with me. And if this is a setup, I'll take you out first.
Well, that's fair. But if this is a trap, it ain't none of my doing.
Does Big Max ever get down this far south?
Not no more. I killed one of his men several years ago. Got lead in another one. I ain't the fastest man around with a gun, but I shoot straight.
That's the most important thing. His men stay out of town?
Yeah. I allow any man one mistake. He leaves after the second one, or he stays forever.
Sounds pretty smart.
Works for me. Well, here's the bar.
You first, Marshal.
Jake Lewis stood alone at the bar. He had brushed back his coat, exposing a pistol, the holster tied down. Smoke was curious about that. If the man wanted no trouble, why get set for it? Smoke concluded that Jake was wearing a hideout gun, maybe a sleeve gun. Shake his arm and the gun falls into his hand.
I have a beer.
Jake turned mean little eyes on Smoke. Jake was no lightweight. He'd hit a good 200 pounds and looked to be in good shape. About 40 years old, Smoke figured.
You looking for me, Jensen?
Nope.
Just happened to ride into town and take a room, eh?
That's right.
I wish I could believe that.
Believe it. I've got no crawl with you, Jake.
I wish I could believe that, too.
You can. The Silver Camp was long ago. You weren't part of the bunch who killed Nicole and the baby. They're all dead. I know that for a fact.
I damn near died, Jensen.
That was your problem. You should have picked better company to run with.
You saying my brother was no good?
You walked through a barnyard. You're going to get crap on your boots.
Lefty was a good man.
He wasn't good enough.
Well, I'm glad you showed up. We can settle this thing once and for all.
There's nothing to settle, Jake. Nothing at all.
I think there is. I sure do think that.
I'm sorry to hear that.
You know, Mama took Lefty's dying pretty hard.
I'm sorry for your mother, not for Lefty. Come on, Jake, get to it. I've got supper waiting at the boarding house.
Don't crowd me, Jensen.
I came in here to tell you that I wasn't trouble hunting. And instead of being happy about it, you want to give me a bunch of lip. That shooting in the Silver Camp was 10 years ago, Jake. I wouldn't have known you if you walked in my front door wearing pink tights and toting a rose between your teeth.
Big Max is waiting for you up at Hell's Creek, Jensen.
Yeah? It figures that trash like you would end up rubbing elbows with trash like Huggins.
I think you're a big man with them guns on, Jensen. What are you with them off? Can you bare-knuckle fight gunfighter? Or do you have to let them 44s do your talking for you?
There's sure one way to find out, Jake. Providing you have the stomach for it. And providing you get rid of that hideout pistol you're packing.
Fine. I'm gonna stomp your face in, pretty boy.
I doubt it. You're gonna lay on the floor all evening, Jake? I have supper waiting for me.
You're dead, Jensen.
Gut punch stopped Jake cold, forcing him to back up and catch his breath.
Damn it, Jake. You're making this easy.
Jake reached out and grabbed a bottle of whiskey and threw it. Smoke caught the bottle.
Thanks, Jake. Look, you want to quit? You say so, and we'll have a drink together and call the fight over. No hard feelings.
Take him up on it, Jake. Man's being more than fair.
You stay out of this, Marshal. The hell with you, Jensen.
Whatever you say, Jake.
Smoke threw the bottle of whiskey back at Jake. Smoke moved in. He broke Jake's nose, closed one eye up, and smashed his lips to pulp. Jake wiped the blood and whiskey out of his eyes and reached down. He pulled up his pants leg and jerked a knife out of his boot.
Now, Jensen, you get your guts spread all over the room.
Drop the knife, Jake. This is a fair fight, and it's one you wanted. Now you either drop the knife, or I'll kill you.
Yeah, fine, goddammit.
Well, you've managed to make me mad, Jake. Now you get what you've probably had coming to you for a long time.
Smoke walked toward the man, his big hands clenched. Jake swung a roundhouse blow at Smoke. Smoke caught the wrist with both hands, turned to one side, and Jake found himself flying through the air. He crashed through a front window and bounced off the boardwalk. Smoke stepped through the bat wings and was all over Jake. Jake fell back off the boardwalk, landed in the horse crap by the hitch rail.
All right, show's over, folks.
Couple of you boys go out there and toss Jake into a horse trough. Then I'll tell him to get the hell gone from town and don't come back. You'll have to kill that man someday, Jensen. You know that, don't you?
I hope not.
Oh, you will. You humiliated him. Men like Jake can't live with that. It eats on him like a cancer.
Well, he'll have to come looking for me if he wants a killing. As far as I'm concerned, it's over. Now, if you need me, I'll be at the boarding house. I believe I've worked up an appetite.
The man and his wife rode out of town before dawn the next morning and made camp at noon. They stayed in camp for 2 days, relaxing, fishing, and behaving like a couple of kids. They walked through the woods, went skinny dipping in a creek, and they loved every minute of it. 2 days later, they rode into a small town at the south end of a lake. They were a couple of hours' ride away from Hell's Creek at this point. The streets were empty, but Smoke felt eyes on him anyway.
Well, this is a booming town.
They knew we were coming.
How can you tell?
Something about the atmosphere here. Come on, let's get a room.
There was not a soul in the hotel lobby.
What the hell? Hello?
A bald head appeared from behind the front desk.
I'm sorry, but...
I'd like a room for the night.
Well, as I was saying, all the rooms are taken. I'm sorry, sir.
Is that so?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very sorry.
Is there a boarding house?
Well, it's full, too.
Hmm. Must be a convention in town.
Let's go, honey. We can camp outside town.
You don't know how the game is played, Sally. The word's gone out on us from Big Max. These people here are scared to death of him. I've seen a few western towns buffaloed before, but this one takes the prize.
Smoke spun the register book around and inspected it.
Here, let me help you out. Smoke? Jensen. Here's money for your best room. Now, give me the damn key.
Oh, yes, sir. Here, room 22. Stairs are to your right.
Thank you. Would you recommend the food in the dining room?
Oh, yes, sir, I would. Dinner is served from 5 to 8.
Thank you. You're a nice fellow.
Smoke and Sally were alone in their room for all of 5 minutes.
Who is it?
Open the door, Jensen!
Who in the world?
Two mean-eyed and unshaven men, both wearing deputy sheriff's badges, stood in the hall.
You don't come in this town throwing your weight around, Jensen! You're going to jail!
On what charge?
Well, we'll think of something, and we'll see that your woman is taken care of, too.
Let's talk about this in the hall, okay? Excuse me, Sally.
You can say whatever you want, Smoke, but you're still coming with...
Hey, you can't...
God damn it, you just knocked out a tooth, you damn... Hey, where are you taking me? What are you doing?
Getting some peace and quiet.
Hey, but... No! No, not the window! No, let me go now! Come on, it's... No!
The deputy luckily bounced on the awning before he crashed to the ground below. He didn't move. One leg was bent under him, broken.
All right. Your turn, deputy.
Oh, no, please. I'm sorry, Mr. Jensen. It was all just...
No! A crowd began gathering, looking at the two so-called lawmen and stealing glances up at Smoke, who was standing in the hall and glaring out the broken window.
We do not wish to be disturbed. I'll kill the next man who bothers us.
That's how you play the game, honey.
My, my. The things I'm learning on this trip.
Hey, clerk.
Yes, Mr. Jensen?
Send a boy upstairs with hot water. Lots of it. My wife wishes to bathe. And she damn well better be left alone while she's doing it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, and one other thing.
Sir?
Who was that trash I threw out the window?
That was Big Max Huggins' men. Duly appointed deputies by me. I'm Judge Garrison. You're in a lot of trouble here, young man. We don't like ruffians coming into our town, stirring up trouble.
So Max bought you too, huh, Judge? Looks like he's got the whole damn town in his pocket.
Not all of us.
Yeah, you sure could have fooled me.
You've brought us a lot of trouble, Mr. Jensen. Come the morning, Big Max will be riding in here to settle up. Not just with you, but with all of us.
Poor scared little sheep. Do you have to ask Big Max permission to go to the bathroom?
Smoke! Max has got 100 men up yonder in Hell's Creek. There's maybe 35 of us in town who'd stand up to him. Them ain't very good odds.
36. Hell, 37 counting my wife. And she's got more guts than any of you have shown me. How'd all this buffaloing come about?
Huggins killed our marshal and put in his own law. Then he burned out or beat up anyone who tried to stand up to him. We used to have a paper here in town. The editor was killed. The minister over to the church was taken out one night and horsewhipped and tarred and feathered. Two of our women was molested by Max's men. Now, few of us stayed. Most left.
We're not cowards, Mr. Jensen. We've all fought Injuns and outlaws and scum. But Max has threatened our children. He ain't never come right out and done it plain, but we all got the message.
How do you mean?
A little girl come home with a sack of candy. Told her ma and me that a man give it to her. Said that next, if I didn't stop bad-mouthing Max, they might take a little walk in the woods. We got the message.
You all wait right here. I've got an idea.
Hey! Get out of here! I'm not decent! Hi, Smoke.
There's a nice sight.
Oh, hush.
You reckon Robert and Victoria have made it known that we're coming to see them?
Absolutely not. I told them not to say a word about it, and they won't.
How about the letters you've sent them? The people at the post office will be on Max's payroll.
They were sent to Kalispell. Robert goes there once a week to see his patients.
Good girl.
What's up, Smoke? I know that look in your eyes.
We're going to stay here for a time. I got an idea.
Suits me.
I'll let you finish your bath, and then maybe we can get someplace nicer to stay.
Oh.
Smoke walked downstairs to the lobby and went straight to the judge. He was sitting on a couch, holding a wet cloth to his face.
Are you a real judge, commissioned by this territory?
I certainly am, and I'm going to swear out a warrant for your arrest, you hooligan.
Oh, you're going to be issuing arrest warrants, Garrison. But probably for the first time in a long time, they're going to be legal warrants. You, what's your name?
Tom Johnson.
Tom, go outside and get me one of those deputy sheriff's badges from that crud in the street.
All right.
The judge began to put it all together then, and his face became shiny with fear sweat.
You won't get away with this, Jensen.
You want to bet?
He's what?
He's a marshal down in Barlow. And it was all done legal. Judge Garrison signed the order creating a special election and the citizens voted him in. And that ain't all. The judge also swore him in as a deputy sheriff. That was done after Jensen whooped the hell out of Brody and Long, tossed them both out a second-story window at the hotel. Brody's got a busted leg and Long's right arm is broken. That's in addition to a bunch of bruises and cuts. They stove up for a long time.
Big Max Huggins nodded his big head, sat back down, and pondered these new events. Big Max did not get his name from the size of his feet, although they were large. He was large. 6'6 and 280 pounds. A handsome man, Max was vain about his looks. He dressed carefully and neatly and never missed a day shaving. He was intelligent, but with a criminal's cunning, and he was a very cruel man.
What does Jensen want?
Whatever it is, he hasn't said anything.
Jensen's got him a big, fine ranch down in Colorado. He married into old New England money. His wife's as rich as a queen. Supposed to be a real looker, too. The way I hear it, the only time Jensen leaves the ranch is when he takes a notion to stick his nose into someone else's business. He ruined Dooley Hanks a couple of years back, just like he did Judd Vale last year, right here in this territory. Now, he's 10 miles away and packing a badge. That means he's come after me, which means somebody sent for him. But who? Had to be somebody down in Barlow. Well, we gotta find out. Get the boys. We're riding down to Barlow. I'm going to settle Smoke Jensen's hash once and for all.
Big Max rode into Barlow at the head of a small army. He had 50 men behind him, all heavily armed. He kicked up enough dust riding into town to put a thin cover of dirt on every storefront. He rode right up to the marshal's office.
Now, let's see if I can end this right quick. Guess he's out on the town.
Big Max turned to face his army.
All right, let...
Move, and I'll scatter your guts all over the street, Huggins. This is an express gun at your back, and you know what it can do to a man.
Well, that I do. I'm froze. You Smoke Jensen?
That's me. Now tell your men to drop their guns in the street. Every gun they've got in the dirt.
And if I don't?
You forget I got this shotgun.
Do it.
As Big Max's men dropped their weapons, women came out from every store, holding buckets of water and rags.
What the hell?
Your men created all this dust in town, so your men are going to clean it up. They're going to wash all the windows, sweep the boardwalks, and wipe down everything.
I'll be goddamned if I will!
Damn it, Jensen, that was right by my ear!
I don't hear your man complaining about it.
That's because you damn near tore him in half.
He didn't listen. Now give the order.
You boys get to cleaning. Now I'm paying you and you take orders from me. Do it!
And drag that trash out of the street and bury it. Hey, Tom.
Tom Johnson stepped out of the office.
Yes, sir?
Get some boys and gather up their guns, Tom. All of them. And take their rifles from the saddle boots. Bring them to me at the jail. Now, Max. In my office. Now. Have a seat, Max. Here, have some coffee.
You won the first little skirmish, Smoke. But you can't win the war.
What war, Max? I did what I did in this town because I don't like to see citizens bullied. And I especially don't like to hear about children being threatened.
There may have been some incidents where my men got a little heavy-handed, but as far as I know, no kids have been harmed.
But if you continue, Max, they will be. The odds are tilted that way.
And you intend to do what about that?
For the good of humanity, I ought to just stop it right now.
How?
By killing you.
Max studied Smoke Jensen carefully. He concluded that if he was to leave this town alive, he had better play his cards close to the vest. Very close. He also concluded that, like himself, Smoke Jensen had been born without that one tiny cog in his psyche that prevented a man from killing without remorse. But unlike Max, Smoke Jensen had landed on the side of the law. He would always defend the underdog, the poor, the right and just causes.
I can't buy you off, can I?
No.
Women?
I'm married to a beautiful woman. I have never been unfaithful to her and never will be.
What is it specifically that I do that offends you so?
Everything about you offends me, Max. You're an intelligent man.
could have been a success at anything you tried to do, but you chose to be an outlaw. You've probably been a bully and a thief all your life. You like to humiliate people. You like to grind them down under your boot heel. I'm going to play a game with you, Max. You like games?
I'm a gambler, you know that.
But in my game, Max, if you cheat, you die.
Max glanced out the window, trying to hide how flustered he was getting. The body of Butch had been removed, and another gun hand was sprinkling dirt over the blood-soaked spot on the street. He cut his eyes back to smoke.
You see, Max, I don't have to work. My ranch practically runs itself. My wife is very rich, and I have a lot of money personally. Do you have any idea how many thousands and thousands of dollars in reward money I've collected over the years just by shooting wanted men?
I know you're a wealthy man, Jensen. I personally knew of several dozen wanted men you've gunned down. And there's probably a whole bunch I don't know. So what kind of game do you have in mind?
You're going to be a solid citizen, Max. You're going to run all the trash out of your town, build a new school, a new church, a new town hall, and be a credit to this territory.
Are you out of your damn mind? If I ran all the scum out of Hell's Creek, there wouldn't be 50 people left.
That is a fact.
Are you going to shoot me now, Jensen?
Not unless you push me to it.
No worry. I'm not.
You want to play the game or not, Max?
No. If you shoot me, Jensen, you're going to have to shoot me in the back. And I don't think you'll do that. I'm going to walk outside, gunfighter. I'm going to sit down on the bench just outside this office and smoke me a cigar. And I'm not going to bother a soul. When my men have finished mopping and scrubbing this crappy little town, we're going to ride out. We won't bother this town again. I'll give my people orders to stay clear. But if you ever come to Hell's Creek, I can't guarantee your safety. Badge or not, that's my deal.
As Max walked out, Smoke saw him pull a cigar out of a breast pocket. Smoke stood up and stepped outside just as Tom Johnson and several others came walking up, carrying sacks of guns taken from the outlaws.
Put the weapons in a cell and lock it.
Smoke walked on, leaving Big Max Huggins sitting quietly and smoking his stogie. Smoke stopped to inspect the work of Larry Gale, the New Mexico gunslinger. Gale turned mean eyes to him.
I guess I'll have to kill you before long, Larry.
You'll try.
Smoke walked on a few yards. He stopped when he spotted Pete Akins, a gun hand he had met down in Arizona about 6 months back.
You're going to stay on Huggins' payroll, Pete?
Yep.
There's going to be a lot of blood spilled before this is over, Pete.
For sure.
Sorry to hear you're staying. You've never done me a harm, but if you stay, you're my enemy. I just wanted you to know that, Pete.
You could pull out, Jensen.
Not likely. I never leave a job unfinished.
Me neither. Now get out of here and leave me alone. I got windows to wash.
Next, Smoke crossed the wide street and stopped by the side of a young man probably still in his late teens. The boy still had a few pimples on his face.
You better haul your ashes out of here, boy. Straighten up while you've got the time.
I'll see you in hell, Jensen.
You'll be there long before I pass by, son.
Next, Smoke stopped by Ben Webster, who had finished his windows already and was sitting on the boardwalk chewing tobacco.
You hire your guns, Ben. But I never knew you working for someone as low as Big Max Huggins.
Yeah, well, he pays good, Smoke. Size, man who finally drops you can write his own ticket.
You intend to be that man?
Yep.
Make your will out, Ben. Because when you pull iron on me, I'm gonna kill you.
That's a risk we take in this business, ain't it, Smoke?
I don't hire my gun, Ben. Not for money.
Why then, Smoke? Why do you do it?
Because I have a conscience, Ben, and I've got to live with myself.
I don't have a bit of trouble sleeping at night, or in the daytime for that matter.
That'll make it easier when you decide to brace me, Ben.
Smoke walked on, approaching Sid York.
Sid?
Smoke, I ain't gonna forget this damn window washing.
At least you got your hands clean, Sid. That's probably the first time they've been clean since your mother stopped taking a belt to your butt.
There's always a day of reckoning, Jensen. My day's coming.
Smoke crossed the street again and sat on the bench beside Max. Now that he knew he'd lived through this day, Max was beginning to loosen up.
That a smile I see?
I think it is, Smoke. You got all these rough men washing windows and mopping up the boardwalk.
Yeah, that I have.
But have you thought about this? You've made some rough boys awfully angry at you, and they're going to be sore about this for a long time.
They'll either get over it or come hunt me. If they come hunt me, they'll be over it permanently.
You're that sure of yourself, aren't you, Jensen?
I've put more than 100 men in their graves, Max. I'm still standing.
How many men have you killed, Jensen?
I honestly don't know. I would be very happy if I never had to kill another human being.
Then quit.
I can't.
Why?
Because of people like you.
I never thought of myself as a bad person, Jensen. And that's the God's truth.
You have any plans to change, Max?
No. And that's the truth, too. Why should I? You won't stay around here long. So I pull in my horns for a summer. So what? What have I lost? Nah, Jensen. Unless you kill me now, right now, in cold blood, I'll survive. Because you're gonna have to come to my town to get me. And you won't last 2 minutes in Hell's Creek.
You got it all figured out, huh, Max?
I believe so, yes.
It promises to be an interesting summer, Max.
I hope I don't see you again, Jensen.
Oh, you will, Max. You will.
Come on, men. Let's ride.
Smoke sat on the bench and watched as the sullen bunch of gunfighters rode slowly out of town, being very careful to kick up as little dust as possible. Only Pete Akins raised a hand in farewell.
See you around, Smoke.
Take it easy, Pete.
Bringing up the rear of the procession was a wagon, the two bone-broken deputies lying on hay in the bed. Tom Johnson crossed the street, leading a group of men and women, Judge Garrison amongst them.
Tom, did you send those wires like I asked?
Yes, sir. Folks should start arriving in about a week. What about those people in town loyal to Huggins?
Tell them to hit the trail, Tom. You're the newly elected mayor.
Well, how about me?
You're staying, Judge. You and me, we're going to see to it that justice prevails in this part of the country. Tom has arranged for a man to come in and reopen the newspaper. He's also got people coming in that include a school teacher, a preacher, and some shopkeepers. Barlow is going to boom again, Judge. Nice and legal.
Well, I must admit, it's a good feeling to be free of Max Huggins. For as long as it lasts, that is.
Trust me, Judge. I've got it all worked out up here. Now tell me, what times does the stage run?
It'll be here in about an hour.
It turns around at Hell's Creek?
That's right.
Well then, I'll just make plans to meet the stage. Right now, I have to see about finding a deputy.
That's not going to be easy, Smoke. I don't know of a single person who's qualified. Most of the ranches in this part of the county have only the hands they absolutely need to get by. There's about a dozen farmers in this area. Good people, but not gunslingers.
Who's that prisoner in the jail? What's he being held for?
His name is DeGone. Jim DeGone. He's not a bad sort. Matter of fact, he's rather a likable fella. He just likes to fight. Problem is, he can never win one. He's a good cowboy, works hard. But when he starts drinking, he picks fights. And he always loses.
Rise and shine.
Hey, let go of my leg! What the hell?
Shut up, Jim.
Hey!
All right, look. Right here's the tub. Strip and scrub pink. I'll have your clothes washed and dried. Then we'll talk.
We ain't doing nothing! Who the hell are you?
Name Smoke Jensen.
Oh, shit. You got some soap?
It's next to the tub.
Much obliged.
20 minutes later, sober and clean and wrapped in a blanket, Jim DeGone sat in front of Smoke's desk and waited. He didn't have a clue as to what Smoke wanted of him. Smoke stared at the young man, maybe 5'7". Not much meat on him, but wiry, rawhide tough. Hard to tell what he looked like with his face all banged up and both eyes swollen nearly closed, but he appeared to be a rather nice-looking young man.
You don't have a job, Jim. The judge said you got fired from the Circle W.
I probably did. Joe got tired of bailing me out of jail, I reckon.
Joe who?
Joe Walsh owns a spread.
Good man.
Now, one of the best, arrow straight. You really smoke Jensen?
Uh-huh. I found this gun belt around here. It's yours?
Yes, sir.
Can you use it?
I'm not real fast, but I don't hardly ever miss.
You want it anywhere, Jim?
No, sir. I ain't never stole nothing in my life.
That's what I like to hear. There's a package to your left. Open it up.
Okay. Clothes. Did I miss my birthday?
Yep. New jeans, shirts, socks, and drawers in there. Go get dressed. You're my new deputy.
I'm your what?
My deputy. Your drinking days are over, Jim. You're now a full-fledged member of the Temperance League. You take one drink, just one, and I'll stomp your guts into a greasy puddle in the middle of that street out there. And then I'll feed what's left to the hogs. You understand me?
Well, you put it that way, yeah.
Fine. Get dressed and go down to Judge Garrison's office. He'll swear you in as a deputy sheriff. Then you meet me back here. Right now, I've got to go meet a stage.